welcome back to Shotgun the Orcs podcast. It's your host Tom, joined once again by my co-host Rob. How you doing, man?
All good.
Good. We have another exciting installment of Shotgun the Classic series. We ended up landing on that name in the end because we couldn't be asked to think of something more original, but I guess it will have to do.
Shout out to the person who says Shotgun Reloaded.
Shotgun Reloaded, I know. I replied to him. I was just like, yeah, we missed a trick there. But
did we, or is it too cliche? Is it cliche?
Yeah, it's too cliche. Yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm joking. No. Big up yourself.
Wow. We should have a vote. Shotgun and Classics or Shotgun Reloaded. We can switch it up. We're joking.
But in all honesty, big up the guy who recommended Shotgun Reloaded because, I think we did miss a trick there. But, yeah, we'll see what they're saying. But anyway, if this is your first time listening, the concept is we take a classic underground album or something we feel that needs a bit more light shined on it. We break it down track by track. We talk about production, the bars, the themes, kind of the overarching message and cultural significance, all of that good stuff. Just have a bit of a geek out. But on this episode, we're taking it way back to Task Force's debut full-length album, New Mike Order. Obviously produced in its entirety by the late, great Mark B, with Mr. Thing on the cuts, released back in 1999. So it's crazy, man. Over 20 years old.
I didn't realize it was that old. I should have checked before, but I didn't realize it was 99. Wow.
Crazy, man. But I mean, anyone who may not know, it's doubtful if you're listening to our podcast, but Task Force were a rap duo from Highbury in London, consisting of brothers Chester P and Farmer G. Given that context is important to listeners sometimes, because you kind of, what I find with these chats, you kind of talk and don't necessarily consider new listeners or someone tapping into UK hip-hop time.
That's right, yeah.
I always think that to myself, man.
Yeah. Classic material.
So, man, admittedly, I heard this album after, like, Music from the Corner, Voice of the Great Outdoors and those projects. So this was obviously, like, the precursor to that. I know, obviously, you had, like, the Mud Fam and the Berry Crew stuff beforehand, but this was really the kind of, like, inception of Task Force as that seminal group that we know today. And it was also before the kind of struggle rap of the later projects. You know, this is very kind of different in tone, which we can get into.
I agree.
So what's anyway, man, I've talked enough. What are your kind of initial what's your initial kind of recollection of the album? What's your history with it?
Again, like, it's going to go back to that download era type epoch of, like, getting music and stuff. So, you know, again, we didn't have that outlet for all these specific projects from people. So we had the download services to hook us up, which is terrible, I know, and apologies. But yeah, no, I was, like I said, I was drip fed this as well. I heard I Wish, I heard Lowdown Showdown, I heard Brothers McBain. Like, it was all just bits and bobs here and there, do you know what I mean? Like,
so yeah,
it was all,
man.
You know, Crying Waves is one of my favourite tunes back in the day as well. Yeah, so it's just, it's one of them, like, you hear it all over, you know, you just hear it in bits and bobs all over the place, and then later on you hear it as a full project, and then you get to hear it as a masterpiece type, as it were, do you know what I mean? So, yeah,
that's the sense. When we were first chatting about this this episode, like the kind of initial list of albums we wanted to cover, initially I don't remember liking this album as much as their other, like, later works.
Why?
After going back to it, though, just bear with me, man. After going back to it, I had so much fun listening to this album this time around. Mm. Something I will say, like, especially, like, these days, it's really hard to be invested in a piece of media, like listening to an album or watching a film. Actually, you know, listening to it in preparation for something like a podcast, in which we need to talk about, I felt myself enjoying it more because I had to listen to it. I had to
get right into it, track by track. Of course.
And with that kind of approach, man, I really, really fuck with it. But we'll go into the specifics. So yeah, I don't know what I was. I must have been bugging before, but I don't remember not liking it, but I just remember thinking that it was, inferior to the later projects.
See, I'm the opposite. Like I started off with the earlier stuff, and then I kind of, what's the word? I didn't listen to the MFTC stuff as much. Do you know what I mean? Like I did listen to all the projects, but these were my like mainstays. Like I'd always go back to like New Mic Order and the tracks are from here, and you know, Great Outdoors and Bits and Bobs and some Mudfam stuff as well. So this was, yeah, this is my, we're like almost opposite end of the spectrum type thing. So we got more of a varied view on it. So that's good that we can look back on it now. So yeah.
Yeah, man. I wonder how it will be, just the entire retrospective look back at the collection as a whole. So obviously that was my kind of thoughts initially before going in. That, New Mic Order, not as good as Music from the Corner. But I wonder how my perspective will change if I go through it again, following the same approach. Because I listen to music so kind of sporadically, as we all do these days. It's all, I rarely kind of sit down and listen to an album start to finish, unless it's something special, you know.
Depends what you have going on in your life, innit? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you don't have enough time, you don't. That's why people make short albums, I suppose, isn't it? So, yeah, it's catered to listeners' ongoing lifestyles, maybe.
I don't know.
Or commute to work.
So before we get into kind of the track by track breakdown, do you know much in terms of backgrounds as how
I do not. I don't.
Be?
I don't, like, to be honest. I don't. I can imagine it came around from, you know, those late 90s, you know, Kung Fu days in London where they were just going out freestyling, ciphering, making connections with people and MCs and producers and DJs, and then it just came to a point where it was like, right, we'll make a project. How it does organically within, you know, with any group of people or MCs, they just write, you know, they just kind of acquiesce into making a solid project like this. So that's you know, that's purely speculative, but
I listened to the recent Killer Keller podcast with Farmer G, and he kind of touched upon it briefly for a few minutes, and he said about, so Mark B approached him and Chester and was just like, yo, do you want to make an album together? And he was just like, what, with the rest of the crew as well? And he was just like, no, just you two. And then paraphrasing, like, shit hit the fan, it got quite political, but it's one of those decisions they had to take, and the rest, as they say, is history. Yeah, apparently that's where the kind of formation of the, you know, the term task force came from. Like, Farms were just tagging in the studio, and he wrote the words task force, and then they all like landed on that idea, and they were comfortable going with it. But I think we'll go into the track by track breakdown. But it was quite interesting hearing like Farmer G's take on the recording itself. Like he said, because they were so hungry for that recognition, and they realised that they'd gotten such a good opportunity with Mark B. He said you could hear it in the recording. The terms he used were they were artistically hungry, and they overpowered their verses because of that.
Oh, you can hear that. You can hear that all so over. Yeah,
it sounds like overwhelming and almost kind of desperate, he said, and like uncomposed. But personally, I think that works in its favour. But he kind of put a negative spin on it. But it's more of a snapshot in time, like a stepping stone.
Was it a negative thing? No, I don't think any of their deliveries that negative on it at all. Like, I think it works for what it is, and given the time as well, I don't know.
I think it's just a case of being your own worst critic, if that makes sense.
Retrospect as well.
Yeah, exactly, man. But it's a significant period of UK hip hop history. But yeah, man. So we've talked a bit about the background, how you first, you know, heard about the album and what you listened to. Should we just get stuck into the tracks?
Cool. Go for it.
So,
I think I should let you start. No, I think I should let you start, because obviously you're a big MFTC guy, so I think you should go into, you should start New Mic Order. Nice place to visit, but you want one.
Yeah, okay then. So the first track, One Step Ahead. I love the kind of the opening sample where it says nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
The sample, dreamy strings, it's kind of haunting, like the scratches as well. Mm-hmm. I love this beat.
The vocal as well. What she incredible. Says. When she says, going out of my mind just because you, yeah, that's kind of
going
like,
out of my mind. Man. I'm not going to butcher it, but I've got a lovely scene voice.
You did,
but,
did a little bit.
So Chess comes in on the first verse, quickly goes back and forth between like Chess and Farms, and it's just kind of evident that the chemistry's there from the outset. Some of the bars on this are just insane. Well, again, it's another one of those albums like we touched upon on the Return of the Drifter episode.
Mm.
They have a very like task force, obviously as separate entities, Farmer G and Chester P. They're very distinct styles of delivery and content within their flow,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but they share very kind of similar kind of visuals and concepts and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Very like psychedelic, trippy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a really cool niche like that they
Moonchild like battle rappers. Do you know what I mean? Like these, yeah, psychedelic kind of like street urchins. Do you know what I mean? That they could
wrap
their ass off on the corner for hours and hours, and it just, yeah, and it that's how they present themselves. And they always, yeah, so they have that. That's them. There is nobody else like them from that time period. And if there is anyone like that now, they're just copying. So, like, yeah, they do the thing, and they've always done it, and they've always been respected for it as well, you know? So. Which is amazing if you think about it. This has a harder edge, I think, like than if you listen to like Butterfly Concerto or something like that. You could like, you know, harder nosed people might think, what's this? You know what I mean? But this is more harder edge. So yeah, but my point is they still get respected for the way they deliver and how they deliver it, because it is good. It is really well constructed. So yeah.
Yeah, man. They're like fine-tuned instruments, you know, like they just mastered their craft, even though they're young and hungry, as I spoke about earlier, what Farmer G was saying. You can, it just sounds like, and I guess at this time, and I've heard interviews in the past, they had been rapping since they were just, you know, small kids, basically.
Yeah.
And you can tell, it's crazy how they bounce off each other.
Mm-hmm. But see, when it's your brother, easy peasy, isn't it? Like if you, you know, you've got a relationship with your brother like that, and it's easy peasy to just to pounce off, or even, you know, someone you know that's really, really well, but especially, yeah, when it's blood, it's must be really easy to bounce off that person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just, it's magic really when they go and do the thing, because that's how it's supposed to be.
Because, yeah. I love the contrast between like both the vocal deliveries as well. Like you've got like Chess, he's got quite a like high pitched cadence. Farms can have that as well, but
yeah,
in this track in particular, like Farms comes through with a more kind of lower delivery, Chess mm-hmm. is the high pitch, so it kind mm-hmm. of goes together really well. And you mentioned before, like it's easy because they're brothers, but you can tell that they're brothers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, their voices are still really unique in their own way.
Yeah.
It's like they're both incredible, but when they come together, it's just like transcends everything else, if that makes sense. It's just mm-hmm. like, what's the phrase I'm thinking of? Like a storm in a teacup, is it? Or am I thinking of something a bit? No, that implies that something's like actually
a load of shit
blown out of proportion.
Don't blow it out of proportion. Yeah.
Yeah. What am I thinking of?
I don't
lightning
know.
In a bottle. Is that it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Some pretentious thing. Phrase that I can't recall right now. But anyway, One Step Ahead, Rob. What's your
I like, wicked song. Like, it's just punches, them two being bonkers, going back to back, chucking, you know, mental metaphors and similes together. And you're thinking, where are you coming from with half of this stuff? And, you know, and punchlines as well. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a nice track that kind of like just eases you in, you know, and it just captures that again, like, I'll say again, like that Moonchild battle rapper.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's you know, that, what's the word? No, I can't think of it. Aesthetic that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's just a nice song to get you into the album.
This has got like the almost like a precursor to Cosmic Gypsies, as you mentioned, Mike. Yeah, you mentioned Star Child, Cosmic Gypsy. Yeah, it's kind of all those kind of bars come in and like, you know, I'm a spaceman type, all that stuff. It's just like, oh, right, okay, later you'd hear that. And it's obviously kind of peppered throughout their discography anyway. But I love the build up towards the end as well. Like, one step ahead of you.
What was your, you got any more quotables from that?
I love, this is Freaky Animation, Manifestation for a Brain Tax, Tangible Levels of Creation, Look Back. There's just, there are tons,
That was what I was going to say. That's the same one I had as well. And then I'm Like a Cosmic Gypsy, from Black Holes to Red Dwarfs. I'm known for crushing pipsqueaks. Now, people, who would say pipsqueak in a bar? Because not many people can get away with saying words like that. Do you know what I mean? You could say it, but I don't think we'd land with a lot of people. They'd be like, what are you talking about? Pipsqueak. Do you know what I mean? It's a really, it's a hard word, a hard couple of words to say in a bar, and he managed to pull it off quite well.
Effortless.
One thing I like, which is completely barnacles, is like, I think it's Farmy says, he says, tombstone sideburns, concrete hairstyles.
Yeah.
I'm all over that.
Mad so, visuals. Yeah, but you know, you know what he means, though. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'm sorry.
No, you know what I'm trying to say, though? It's kind of like, even though it's such a kind of an obscure way to describe something, it's it's still so vivid. You know exactly what it's he's talking like, about.
It's almost like that Ghostface Killah stuff where he said, I don't know what I meant when I wrote it. I just threw a load of stuff. It's like throwing loads of paint at a canvas. You do it, chuck it, and then you look at it and think, all right, it works. So, because I read about that, about a verse on Supreme Clientele or something recently. I think that Ginger Slim posted it up, and he said he quoted that and explained his vocal styles. And this is kind of similar, do you know what I mean? You can take those words, not similar as in it's just like bollocks, but it's like, you know, it's something that, you know, it works. The randomness, but cohesiveness kind of works.
You get people, super fans, trying to break it down, trying to make sense of it, coming up with a theory of what it could mean. And, you know, there's all these strangers arguing on the internet about, you know, song lyrics. And then the artists themselves are just like, I don't fucking know, like, whatever. And then retrospectively piece it together and just be like, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Cheers for that.
I know. Sometimes, the thing is, I worked this out the other day, I worked it out earlier. Like, sometimes you can write something and your subconscious will throw you a word that fits in, and it's like, okay. And then you go back to it and you think, oh, that actually does work with what I was actually trying to say. So it's almost like, your subconscious kind of helps you write almost. So you, I find my own stuff within my own stuff, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm delivering myself punchlines I didn't even know existed. But it's your subconscious. Lots of levels to it. But yeah, this tune is a banger. Like, lovely way to start the album.
Agreed.
And so Mark is like an amazing producer. Like, I don't know, was this his first project? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, like, full length project. I don't really know. I know he did a few other albums. I know Mark B and Blade came later, The Unknown. He did like, what else did he do? I don't want to put my foot in it and say this, and he didn't. But yeah, you go, look, fact checking. Lostralian, did he do that?
So he did Any More Questions in 95, Underworld Connection 97. He did, it looks like a beat tape, Disco Loaded Beats and Sounds Volume 1, New School Dean 98.
But yeah, either way, what I'm saying is that he's like a really, you know,
a lot
really sick producer by this point, you know what I mean? And so he's, it's banging, everything's on point. And I think that was the right time for him, given other projects he did afterwards as well, especially with the Blade album.
and sounding like he was like the catalyst for this coming into being, like approaching Farms and, you know, kicking things off. Mm-hmm. That's an indicator of how, I guess, important he was, you know, considered to be back then, and how well respected he was. So, props to Mark B, man. R.I.P. But moving on to the next track, I Wish.
Mm-hmm. I wish.
Leave this one?
Yeah, no, I think this was the first track I heard off the album, I think. And it was like, I love the sample on this. I couldn't even tell you what the sample is, but it's funky, innit? It's that, it's just a weird little, it must be like a weird, it sounds like an, I don't know, I want to say like a weird arpeggiated synth, but it's not at the same time. It's probably just some looped, distorted guitar, I don't even know, but it sounds sick. And I find that a lot of Mark B stuff has that kind of really old retro dusty kind of like sound to it. Like there's some, you can draw some similarities to the beats on The Unknown, and you think he's either got it all from the same place, or he's had the same plug and he's got all the same stuff from the same, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like it's all come from the same, or he has his sound, or he knows his sound.
Yeah, I was actually surprised, considering how this is over 20 years old, early days of UK hip hop, I was still surprised how, how contemporary it sounds. I know you mentioned like retro in terms of the production style, but in terms of just the overall listening experience, there's obviously, you know, there's exceptions to that, but generally speaking, I think it's aged really well.
Oh, yeah.
The sound, the production, and yeah, I guess that's down to Mark Bitty. But yeah, I love the instrumental on this so much, man. That's what
I bang this all the time. This was another one of those tracks that I would like stick on a CD and put in my mate's cars, even though they weren't really into hip hop, and they banged it. They ended up banging it in their car, so it's like, you know, it has to have hit a nerve with a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? So it was good. So it's a very good track. The concept is lovely and easy as well. Such an easy concept to go wild with. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you've got.
If I had longer arms, I'd push the clouds away. I'd just like laugh at that blast. It's such a funny visual. Like,
yeah.
Like, Stretch Armstrong, you know, just like.
That's what it's fun though. That's what it is. Yeah. Like you can get a shit rapper and they could do this, and it'd be terrible. Do you know what I mean? Like, but because they're so skilled in what they do, and they're so imaginative to from the world around them and doing whatever they've done, like it just works. And it's that also that playful, I don't know, psychedelic kind of wonderful world that they put you in that kind of helps bring that message across. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a wicked.
They've nailed down that really well. Those trippy concepts, like as you say, it's like their signature thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, some of the bars are just mental, right? I wish NPCs were only 25p. That's another bar that I'd like. just kill me when I heard that, man.
I kind of.
No, go on, man.
I always like when I sing along to it, I always say, I wish MP3s. I could say C, I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. It's got no bearing on this at all. But yeah.
What would you wish for, man, if you had one wish?
Some new trainers or something? I don't know.
Imaginative.
It's just more. No, I don't know. I've got some bars down that I've written down. I should really have quoted who said it. It's like, if I could turn into water, I'd jump into the sea. And if I became you, I'll go and talk to me. That's Chester in it. If I became time, I'd wonder how long would it last, and if there was a future, would happen. But I can't even read it off the screen, man. I need it on my phone. I'm untrained. I need my phone. But yeah, if the future never happened, would I become the past? There we go.
To be fair, man, like as quotable a lot of these bars are. Again, I've said it once. I'll say it again. I'm shit at retaining information. Mm. And if I see it on the screen, I'll be like, oh yeah, but. There are so many incredible bars throughout this project.
It's just fully agree.
Fucking madness, mate.
Really
if good. I was currency, I would try to kill myself. What? So yeah, I love the tempo. It's really upbeat.
Isn't the bit after that better though? He does say, if I was currency, I'd try and kill myself. But then he says something about like thinking about all the negative things it's done. There was a justification for it.
Yeah,
it wasn't just shit.
And in the time machine bar as well, which eludes me, but it's basically just like, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and like write all of where we fucked up in the past kind of thing. I thought it was quite a nice visual.
Question.
Yeah.
What happened to Eno Red Rum? And was Eno Red Rum a member of Task Force?
So Eno Red Rum, again, I'm pulling this secondhand information. I'm pulling this from the Killer Keller podcast with Farmer because he was talking about it. So Eno Redrum was a kid from the estate when they were recording it. And Farmer G basically, like, bullied him into being on the project. Not like, you know, he roped him into it because he thought, oh, I just want like another voice on it. Someone authentic, someone we know, someone from the streets. And he had he ghost wrote all of his bars. He said that he basically was really, really anxious and all of that kind of stuff. So he had to kind of be coached into doing it. So he wasn't really on it. Like he was into rap and all of that, but apparently wasn't really on it. So it took a lot of encouragement and kind of come on, you've got this.
What was the, just because they wanted his aesthetic? Like, is it because his voice vocally, it's a raw.
Yeah.
I've written down here, he sounds like a rough, put a paper type, but you know, he sounds as that kind of gruff put a paper vocally. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you know what I mean? So it kind of brings a nice contrast to the other two. Do you know what I mean? So maybe was it a case of having that offset in the background, or were they trying to do something for the young man? Do you know what I mean? Were they trying to help him out? Trying to say, look, this is what we can do. Look how sick it is, type thing. Because sometimes you'd be wanting to put in, to turn heads on to the music game and stuff like that. But if he wasn't on it, then I suppose, never mind. But he did all right. I know they're not his verses. It's just did an easy E, didn't he? Fair enough.
Which track are we on?
Brothers McBain. Yeah, we're on Brothers McBain, yeah.
Yeah, so because he was on that, right?
Yeah,
I was just getting confused. Yeah, so we're on to Brothers McBain now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but yeah, man, what are your thoughts on this? I really, dirty, beats murky, moody,
murky, dirty, just grubby, yeah, ill. I don't know. I'm sure I recognize a sample from there, but obviously, I ain't a sample guy. I'm not gonna try and pretend that I am. It just sounds. It does sound immersive in the sound,
man.
The way it kind of sloshes about. Do you know what I mean? And
you got the flute and the little flourishes. You got the wind chimes in the background. It's really kind of menacing and cinematic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and they just do what they do best. Again on here, they just
back and forth.
There's a slight there is a slight concept to it though, I think. It's like they bring their own mythical characters into play. Do you know what I mean? And they kind of hype up around it. I was listening to the hook and I kind of worked out that Farms must have wanted the last line to be Brothers McBain, Riders of the Storm, because if you listen, because you know he kind of wrote the previous bars like all these bananas things like Typhoon Snowboarder and. What something else, hand glider and stuff like that. So he's kind of chucked all these things in to say, Brothers McBain, we're the Riders of the Storm, innit? So kind of, there's that sort of elemental earth, wind and fiery type, natural disaster type shit going on through there at the same time. As all doing all these battle punches and crazy bars, you know, the whole way throughout. So yeah, that was my field on it. And it was just ill.
So, do you know who the Brothers McBain are? Like, are they fictional characters that they've just kind of borrowed for this track? Yeah, man.
I don't know. Brothers, do you know what? I think I remember googling it when I was younger. I don't think I can remember what it is. Though, to kind of, if indeed it is anything at all, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
You're gonna look quickly to validate it, or should we just leave it?
It's mysterious, isn't it? Like, we'll never know. The only McBain that I can recall is the one from The Simpsons. You know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger knockoff.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Two McBains.
Double
McBain. Imagine that.
Bye, book. Sick. All right, man. So yeah, I really rate that track, man. I think Farm's vocals really gruff and aggy on this one as well.
I can't avenge my partner's death with this pea shooter.
I don't want to hear it, McBain. That tenant of yours is against regulations. In this department, we go by the book.
buy book.
Like obviously, you know, I think people's opinions can sway between farms and chess. And a lot of the time people sway towards chess because that's what they always kind of laud him as one of the top three people in UK hip hop, let's just say. But on this track, people, I think they neglect Farms. But on this track, Farms kills it.
I agree.
Kills it. Absolutely murders it. It's like this tune is him all over. Like, yeah. Yeah. Done. That's it. Yeah, you need to spit what you need to spit. That's it. Job done.
Easy top piece. Tier hip hop. I love the shout outs at the end as well. It's a really like nice little touch, nice way to end the track. There's all these like shout outs at the ends.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like just kind of various kind of who's who of UK hip hop at the time. Yeah, yeah. Before that was quite a nice touch. I like the ad libs in this track as well. Yeah, it's a dope track. I don't really have any complaints with it. It's cool concept. It's good bars, good instrumental. Yeah, Mark B as well. Can't forget to call him out on this. Sick.
Agree. Totally agree. Any bars?
If your head's bigger than your skills, then sometimes it's good to lose. And I think that's a pretty pretty apt thing to say, you know? There's a lot of ego in this game.
The flow's all over the place on this. I'm not going to try and grab it. It's not... Yeah, I'm not going to try and do it. I'll just try and read it this time properly, not like a dickhead, like I said, you know, like I was doing before. All right. My slicing vocals, you can't test. Make your face feel wet. Put my name under sign. I'm a stainless steel edge standing knife. Slice rate, top 10, tongue flesh, breakneck, rap speed, the verbal stampeder, hexagon head shape. Now, can you catch my angle? What's that all about? See? But when Farm says it, you're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, that's just bonkers. Do you know as well, like, I think the way they were rapping at that point in time, I think that they could have jumped in a cypher with like LP and Company Flow and that, and they would have fit straight in. Like, it would have been like, bow. And, you know, yeah, easy peasy. Because this is their, that's that type of shit. That's how, this is like almost how LP rhymes, you know what I mean? You know, on Funcrusher, he was a bit like this. So the parallels you can draw from underground New York hip hop is still there. Do you know what I mean? And that's not to say they were biting or anything like that, because that's not what it's about. Because they unapologetically did them. They didn't try and copy anything. They just did them. So, but I'm saying I'm easily on par with what was going on in '99. So yeah, ill.
Crazy man. So anything else to mention on Brothers McBain before moving on?
That's it, I'm good. I'm full up on Brothers McBain.
So the Lowdown Showdown.
This is probably the second song I heard off the album. Sorry. Yeah, wicked, nice piano samples, and it was, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of just, the key. It's like oriental sounding, like the keys in it. It's reminding me of like a Mad Lib beat, but I couldn't pinpoint which one.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound oriental, but I don't know if. It just dances around a lot. It's kind of I couldn't tell you what genre it would have been sampled from, but it's nice and it just bounces around and it weaves itself around the track while they go back to back in a kind of like a nice chilled out way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so again,
it's a slight tangent. The reason I say oriental, there's this French Asian hip hop producer called Onra, and he released like a few beat tapes back in the day called like Chinoiseries.
Right.
And so we went over. So he's like Chinese descent. So he went back to China and did a lot of digging, a lot of like old Chinese folk music.
Yeah.
And made these really dope beat tapes from it. And the instrumental really reminds me of one of the tracks on that album.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I thought that's where my mind went immediately after listening to this. I was just like, oh, it just brought me back to that. To that project, you know, so
maybe it's the dissonance with the piano notes,
possibly,
maybe,
yeah, possibly,
yeah. But the track, go on.
No. I was going to say, man, I like this one. Sick bars again. Acrobatic rapper man swinging through a vineyard. It's just like straight in again, off the bat, just bars.
Yeah. What did I put? It's like a more chilled out. It's a chilled out version. It's a chilled out battle track. Like, this is a banger as well. Like, you can play this and it's just nice. Head nodder, you know, does the job without. It's never going to be boring, but it is a banger, do you know what I mean? So, you know, I can't really say much more about it apart from just going to check it out and listen to it, because it's a good song. But yeah, and it's got a nice vibe to it. And then just down back to back punches, kicking the shit out of it. Wow, what more do you need?
Exactly, man, exactly. So moving on to Writer's Bench, which is kind of a, it's basically kind of an instrumental / like tribute and shout out to the Graph Writers. It's like a prelude to Graph Origines, which is the track afterwards. But yeah, I quite like this little interlude, you know, nice smooth R&B beat. You're into your writing as well, aren't you, man?
So, I do like, this is the thing, right? So the beat is wicked, like it has that kind of like, it's nice and dusty, like it sounds, you know, grim. I don't say grim, but like grim, like kind of underworldy kind of vibe, like old school kind of noir kind of vibe. For me personally, it kind of paints that kind of picture in my head. And then Chess just gives it up. Do you know what I mean? Gives it up for all the people that you'd see if you were a writer around London around that time. Even people from back in the day, people from that point in time, even people that we would have seen back in Bournemouth when we were, you know, when I was growing up, there's names that he mentioned on there, like Dyer, FDC and stuff like that. And there's a couple more on there. And like, I know that person, like, you know, all like other people from London, like DDS and stuff like that. And, you know, big Graph names, you know what I mean? And as a person that would follow graffiti and look online and what, you know, look at things on, you know, look at websites online, go through pictures and then get graffiti mags and go through graffiti mags and look at all these different people, look at graffitism, look at Hold No Hostage. It's like he brought those names to life and it gave them kind of like a meaning and a connection within the scene as well. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of writers you know, they do listen to UK hip hop. A lot don't. A lot of them, they do other things, but you know, there is a lot of like connection.
Yeah.
It was nice to hear those names immortalized by him, because they're the names that I saw in a magazine, and then now Chester B saying the name, so it's cool. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's a nice nod to like another really like important facet of the culture. It can sometimes be overlooked because of the music, you know, people look into the music and they listen to the rap and all of that stuff, but it's sick that they've dedicated a whole like section of their album to it, as you say, like they've immortalized it before obviously rolling on to the kind of full-on ode to Graph in Graph Origines. But I think you can just tell that it's very important to them. It's it's all encompassing, you know.
Yeah But I think it's interesting how they only kind of covered that one subject, because I think graffiti in London's massive. Do you know what I mean? It was at that time it was huge. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had friends from London that came to Bournemouth, and they would bomb, but they'd never listen to hip hop.
Yeah,
they're into like jungle and D&B. So like, graffiti culture itself from London kind of transcended that, and it would spread out beyond the music type thing. And if you're going out writing, you're going out writing type thing. If you're going to get up, you're going to get up. That's the end of it. So graffiti lends itself to hip hop culture, the culture we subscribe to. But I think as a person from London, it's
his own thing as well. I hear that. So I feel that, you know, they could have celebrated any of the pillars of hip hop in this, but it's apparent that graffiti is a very kind of significant, important part of their journey.
And it's mad accessible too. Yeah. It's mad accessible to be a writer. Like, it's, you know, you have to do certain things. You have to have a certain attitude, and a lot of people aren't cut out for it or haven't got the dedication to do it. But it's really, really accessible thing to do, as opposed to breakdancing. That actually takes, you have to physically train yourself to do it. and it's hard to do. So if you're not going to dedicate yourself to
I guess it's relative, isn't it? I mean, like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's kind of like it's a physical sport in itself, you know, like breakdancing. And you have to be in a certain physical condition to do it. You need to be like, obviously, you need the technical ability. You need to memorize the moves. You need to, it's everything, right? But then again, with, you know, with bombing, it's, you know, choosing the right time. You've got to be fit to fucking run away when you need to. You need to kind of choose your timing. You need to choose, like, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of, it's a different skill set, you know?
You'll be intuitive and make the right mistakes so you don't make the wrong ones. So, but it is, as a subculture, it owes a lot to general culture as it is. No, the other way around, actually. General culture owes a lot to graffiti, do you know what I mean? Because of it's been marketed, mismarketed, used, abused, and the same people that will use it on an advert will turn around and say, I hate that fucking shitty tagging on the wall. But that's where it comes from. You can't have all the nice, pretty things that you want to see without the tag.
That's corporate appropriation, though, isn't it? You know, that's kind of like, exactly.
But there's a McDonald's in Reading, and the walls are all covered in graph. And I'm there like, you know, like all that graph print on the walls. And it's like, since when has it been cool to sit around, you know what I mean? And thing is, the graph's not even proper. I don't know if it's proper graph or not. It just looks like some toy, like, I don't know, like it's like EastEnders graph. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't look right. And even if it's someone's graph, like if it's a writer's graph, then are they getting paid for it?
You kind of feel like they've sold their soul. Imagine being hired by a big corporation to do graph. It's kind of
imagine if you put it on a wall and someone's taking a picture and then stuck it on the inside of a McDonald's.
With you.
And like, imagine that. How would that make you feel? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. How would it make you feel? Are they taking art? But the art's not art, it's vandalism. It's supposed to be. It's for who it's meant to be for.
Yeah, man.
But we can get into this. This can go on for hours and days.
And days.
All it is a graph is for writers and that's that. Oh, sugar camera. There we go.
Onto the track itself, man. Graph Origines. My identity as I roam London City. Hide my identity as I roam London City. So it's like presented as a conversation between the brothers as they, you know, set off to throw some pieces up around the city, spraying trains and other madness. I'd rather be a grapher than a player. And I'm not sure if that's a play on like Big Pun.
I reckon it is.
But I rate it.
I reckon
it's
it
like
is.
An epic graph voyage around London.
Yeah.
It paints really cool visuals. It's a pleasurable crime, Farms describes it as, which I thought was quite noteworthy.
It is, it is in a sense if you think about it, because it's all about that kind of rush. Like you're trying to get up and you're trying to put your name somewhere, and then once you've done it, you don't really care about the crime aspect of it. You're getting up, and then once you see you're up, you're buzzing. So it is a pleasurable crime. You forget it's a crime.
Yeah, man.
Fuck that. But yeah, that's the whole point.
Exactly. Yeah. I like the nod to Pioneers as well, like listening to London Posse. I just think it's good that it's building the world. You know, it's building the UK hip hop identity by throwing references like that in these tracks, you know. Like, you know, a lot of like American rap reference, a lot of, you know, who came before them. I think it's just a very, very like important I guess gesture.
In what sense?
The fact that UK hip hop is building its own identity separate from kind of American hip hop. And I'll talk about that on other albums as well, but I love nods to someone else who came before them, specifically within the UK. So it's a very distinctly quintessential British piece. It's not.
And that's rung true on the track before with all the old school writers that they were shouting out. So, it's a sick song. Very, very good story. Nice. It allows you to to step into a world, which is what a good story rhyme should be all about, do you know what I mean? And if you don't know anything about being a writer or the ins and outs of it, then you find out. And if you mm-hmm. do, then you find some semblance with it and you're like, okay, cool. Yeah, they know what they're talking about type thing.
Yeah,
like, then you get that connectivity. So it's a wicked song. Really, really good song. There you go.
If your back's against the wall, turn around and write on it.
That's it. And that's the attitude. That's the attitude. But that's like the essence of graffiti almost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It comes from, you know, bricks and rubble in New York.
Having fuck all to do and being creative, you know. Something from nothing. Again, that's hip-hop, isn't it?
Rubble. Yeah, that's it. But here we go.
Next one. It's On You, featuring Skinny Man and Eno Red Rum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
It's good. It's a good song.
I'm just going to come out and say it. It's not my favourite beat, if I'm honest with you. I feel like it's a little bit out of place on this album. I think the features are good. I think the verses are dope. The bars are good, but I'm not a fan of the instrumental. Just being brutally honest, probably get crucified for that. I just think the beat lets it down a bit, personally.
No, I think the beat on this is sick. It's like an up tempo. It's like it storms in. It sounds like it's, you know. It's not fucking around. Like, it means business when it's coming through. Like, it's mm-hmm. up tempo. It's aggy. Like, it does the job for. I think the beat's better than the concept. Maybe, I think.
I disagree, man. Maybe the concept, but not the bars.
No, not the bars. Obviously, not the bars at all. Because I think all solid MCs. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think the concept is a bit preachy. Do you know what I mean? It's on you, like, fucking, you know, get off up your ass and do something about something. But Skinny Man's verse is really good.
Yeah. I mean, the beat, it's sinister with the strings. It's kind of like a horror film. You've got big drums. It's just, I found that it didn't fit within the full body of work. It just seemed a little bit out of place. I don't know why. I can't articulate why. But it just didn't. I don't know why, man. I just wasn't feeling it as much.
I think it's because this has a message, as opposed to the other ones brought an aesthetic.
Yeah, more like playful, more world building. This was kind of.
Yeah. This was
possibly,
like, right.
Possibly.
It was like it was waving its finger at you, and the beat is like that. It's like waving its finger, and then, like, you know, the way this Skinny comes in and is talking about the industry and money and wrecks the art form and bimbos and cars and, you know, like what he said, whatever Skinny Man says, whenever he puts something on a piece of paper and says it, or even just says it, like, it's gonna be spot on and right. Do you know what I mean? Like. And he was right, and it's very succinctly delivered. But is it needed on this album? I don't know. Beat killed it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe we should listen to it back. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like we're kind of like on the same page. But
I think the beat's bang, to be honest, and I think Skinny Man kills it. I wish I could remember some more of Chess and Farms on it, but. But yeah, no, the back.
The beat caught me cold, man. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't feeling it. But as I said, like, the bars were good. I think over a different beat, I'd probably be swayed. I don't know what it was about that beat, but anyway.
Oh, well, never mind.
The only one, though, so far.
You win some,
one,
you
I'm
lose
kind of
some.
Like, a little bit unconvinced, but either way, man. So next one, Crime Waves. Back on track with this one, though, beat-wise. Like, the Screwface is back. It's possibly my favorite track on the album.
Yeah, no, this is to me, this was like possibly the third song I heard, I think, from the album, one of the first ones. And this is like a precursor to MFTC. This is like the most MFTC track. Actually, well, I think, you know, it's the most MFTC track. But as you know, I think Graph Origines could have easily moved into there, but I think the production wise on Crime Waves is fits into that mold. You can see something's coming with it.
Graph Origines was a bit more, even though it told a story, it was a bit more playful with the delivery, a bit more lighthearted.
This is when I listen to this, it's black and white in my head. The situations are black and white in my head, or they're filmed through 80s TV cameras, and that's the imagery I get in my head. It's crusty, it's old, it's like it's that old aesthetic, and it creates that world. Do you know what I mean? So that's why it's a precursor to the following project. So yeah, no, I really like this.
I think Chess really comes into his own as well, which again is probably just foreshadowing what was going to happen later with the whole kind of like struggle rap stuff. Mm-hmm. I love the back and forth again, how mm-hmm. the story kind of progresses, you know, the vicious cycle of crime. Mm-hmm. It's very much kind of, it's more of a, yeah, I guess a story of an environment as opposed to a concept of all these crazy visuals, you know, like juxtaposed with previous tracks where they're talking about pushing away clouds with long arms and all these like trippy visuals. This one is kind of grounded in reality a lot more.
I think that's
definitely the difference between I guess this album and what would come later. So to your point, yeah, I agree with you, man, 100%. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a sign of things to come.
And there was a conclusion as well with the storytelling. It wasn't just like a story. There was like, you know, where they said at the end, like 80 moves and they're finally charged, and that's what you get when you walk the path. Do you know what I mean?
Bad man. Yeah.
And the little sample at the end as well with the kiddie talking about what he robbed. Mm-hmm. And that's old. That's from the, you can tell that's a 70s sample from somewhere. God knows where it's from. But he's there talking. It sounds like a skinhead. It sounds like a young skinhead saying he nicked a load of Levi's Stay Fresh jeans and something else as well. But
if you know, leave it in the comments.
Mm. But yes. Really good one. Yeah, very, very good song off the album. Really.
Anything else to add to Crime Waves before?
I think we've said it all there. Like, it's really one to check for that album. It's good. Yeah, spot on.
Right then, man. So, last but not least, Force the Resistance. We don't want to be left behind. All we want to do is just blow your mind just one more time.
How did you feel?
It's kind of felt like a proper throwback. Like, it's real heavy, like the bells, the strings, like the Nas sample. It's just a nice outro, I think. Like,
yeah.
Again, it's just kind of a, if you think, like, I would say bookends. Like, yeah. It's very much like, this is who we are, Task Force, remember the names, Force Resistance. It's basically just like Task Force signing out. You've been listening to us. This is the end of the journey kind of thing. That's how...
Yeah.
How I kind of took it.
I'm exactly the same. Production's sick, like the strings, it's, bells, you know.
It's not and saying that, anything too dope or too heavy, like and the one beforehand. It's just a solid outro.
Yeah, you need those types of tracks for your album. You need them, like, you know, like Mobb Deep had it, or Party's Over, and Apostles Warning, and Black Twang had it on his one, that rhyming is forever. Like, it's they're nice ways to play out the track. But they're nice outro songs. You can just vibe into them and vibe off and finish. So yeah, it did its job. It bangs as well. And they were doing the same thing they were doing throughout the thing. Like you were saying, Force the Resistance, stamping their name, make sure you don't forget the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it rounds off the album nicely. There you go.
Agree, man. So we've talked about all the tracks now. Mm. Just in terms of like final thoughts, general comments, what do you feel about this album as a whole, man?
Sick. 10/10. Like, I think
10/10. Wow.
I think, like, well, you know, it's up there, isn't it? Like, it's not. It's always it sets pace. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just like Return of the Drifter sets pace. This is essential. This is like Return of the Drifter level, because it's. Man, people might gun me for that. I don't care if they're going to gun me, whatever. Like,
it's
not,
mate, it's your taste, but isn't it? It's your opinion.
What they created for people on this, you know, lyrically, set the tone for the next 20 years. So how can you take away anything from this project? If you started on MFTC and said, yeah, yeah, Task Force are sick, then I would still agree. I would say, but check this first, because you need to know where the ground is, the ground, the foundations are, the groundwork is, do you know what I mean? So you need to go and check this album. And Mark B's production, again, is second to none. Like, he is, you know, the leader of kind of like that sound of that time. And it's clean as well. It's so clean.
Yeah.
The production levels are so clean on it. And yeah, and it started a movement. It put them on, really, if you think about it. As a group, it put them on.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to thank Mark B for that. But yeah, it's definitely something that people should check. Definitely, 100%.
Agree, man. It's a dope project. I feel like it sounds like they had a lot of fun making it as well.
And
it's
almost
a lot less dark.
Yeah, it almost catches that kind of, and I'll say it again, like the kind of like kung fu live energy freestyle battle rap shit that they would have been doing at the time. It captures that energy, I think, because they had the energy within the minute and they were just transferring it from there to here and putting it onto this album. So it's, you can tell that as well, like, because, you know, as unpolished as they were, you could hear that raw energy, like what Farm said, being not being nervous, but they forced the delivery because they wanted it. It meant so much to them. Just like when they get on stage and they were freestyle, it means so much to them to sound sick in front of people or to clash someone. Do you know what I mean? And you got that encapsulated in this project. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
You don't get as many like introspective, like conscious tunes on there, but but I'm talking in comparison to the later works, yeah? So it's more kind of playful with its concepts as opposed to, they did stuff like that later, obviously. But
yeah,
a lot of their later works was a lot darker, a lot more kind of, you know, bleak depiction of living, but also tying these concepts together in with that as well. So it was almost like the two coming together. Whereas I think this project is a lot more just playful. Here we are, like, this is what we're capable of. And just through that alone, I love listening to it again. I didn't listen to this and come out the other side like I can sometimes listening to Task Force, even though I'm technically completely amazed by what they can convey with their words. Mm. Sometimes they leave me depressed and feeling like, oh man, you know, like, and that's, you know, even though, you know, that's, it just depends on the mood I'm in and what I want to listen to. But this particular time, I fucking loved how much fun they were having. I had a lot of fun listening to it. It was just like pure raw energy, as you say, just two young MCs at the top of their game, setting pace.
The only wish I would have had is when I first heard Chester B's voice and Farmer G's voice, it was 2001 or 2000 or something, and I wish I would have heard this project then, because I would have been all over it. Do you know what I mean? It would have, like, do you know what I mean? I just wish I had it, but whatever. Like, it's all good. Like, got there in the end, but it's because it's, you know, it has that raw energy. But to be fair, when I did discover it, it's like unearthing gems, and it's just like, rah, like this is here for me to discover now. So, as in, you know, back in 2002 or 2003, whatever. But yeah, sick album.
Right. Yeah, the length's good as well. Length's perfect. It's easy to digest. It's and you know, we talked about it on Drifter. It's a nice kind of short, digestible album. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
No.
Songs are fun. The concepts are well conceived. The bars are delivered with such kind of venom, you know, like the bars paint pictures. Technically, they're excellent. Like, I feel we're yet to hear kind of a fully realized Chess and Farms. As
on here,
you can still hear the potential coming through.
But
it's confident. It's still a very confidently delivered project. It's raw, and it shows them as a force to be reckoned with.
Wow. I was
awful, man, awful.
Wow.
What are your just to quickly go back and recap, have you got standout tracks on here?
My standout tracks of this album will I like it's an inch, right? So I Wish is going to be a standout for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Crime Waves, I would say, because I used to rinse Crime Waves back in the day because how rich it was in content and how it sounded. And I Wish, I could never skip I Wish. I could never, ever skip it. It's something I always will jump into and listen to it. So it's, yeah, I think I didn't discover the Brothers McBain tune until later on, so you know what I mean. So I didn't hear that, but that would have been a standout. That's still a standout, but
yeah, yeah. Man.
And Lowdown Showdown.
Yeah, I mean, I've got like similar. I've got One Step Ahead. So I think it's a great opening. I've got I Wish, Graph Origines, just for the story, and Crime Waves as well. I guess. Because you know, to your point, it's kind of setting up what would later become, you know, that kind of, you know, task force that we all know.
I wonder if they left any songs off the album, like if there's any songs that they recorded and they thought, nah, do you know what I mean? Because some artists have a bank of songs that they'll say, right, we got 15 tracks, we want to get it to 10. Do you know what I mean? If there was anything they ever left off. And if we've already heard them, like, you know, if they dropped them as a single or something like that, that'd be interesting to know. Some little facts like that. I'd be interested to know that.
Nice one, man. So I think it's safe to say we're both fans of this album. Solid project. If you haven't checked it out or haven't listened in a while, like, I urge you to go back and listen to it. It's an absolute banger.
Yeah.
So that's another exciting edition of Shotgun the Classics. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us waffle on for over an hour now. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We got another episode coming next time as well, so stay locked for that. But catch us on Shotgun the Orcs, all platforms. Like, subscribe, share. Rob, it's been a pleasure, man.
Always.
Anything else to add?
Yeah, just shouts to Chess and Farms for smashing it like always, and then that's it. You know,
and
I mean?
Mark B, man.
Mark B, obviously. Yeah, well, that's it. Bang on, as always. Go check their shit, run it up, get them that stream money, as small as it is. go buy the physicals.
I was going to say, if you can find physicals and go cop, but God knows how much they're going for on like Discogs these days.
Mm-hmm.
Criminal.
Yeah. It's classic, it's history. Go and grab it. Boom.
Exactly, man. On that note, we're out. Peace.
Now what?
Stop that one.